it's evolving, you know, very rapidly, and you have to be a professional. So we have a community of people where we're all sharing high performing properties, and we're all sharing best practices. And it's so fun to be in that environment.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner, where we bring in experts from the short-term rental world, and we try to find those short-term rental investors that are willing to sit down with us and have a conversation so that share the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups and the downs, and all the lessons learned along the way in this asset class. And today we've got Mr. Anthony Guerra joining us, part of our Vodacy family. So Anthony, I appreciate you joining us and allowing us to dive in and have a conversation today.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Sean. Great to be here.
Absolutely. So Anthony, I always like to start these episodes because I think that there's a lot of lessons to be learned that we're going to be talking about. We'll talk about some tactics. We'll talk about some ways to avoid some mistakes and things that you've done along the way. But it's always nice to hear the background of somebody, because when you're listening to these episodes, a lot of times people are saying, oh, man, I can relate to that, or I know about that. And so I like to start with the background, kind of what paid the bills, what got you interested in real estate investing. You've invested in multiple different asset classes along the way before you jumped into short-term rentals. And so I think it'll be good to share with the audience kind of what that journey looked like, and then we'll navigate into the short-term rental if you're good with that.
Sure. Sure. I grew up in the hospitality background. I was in the hospitality business for 25 years. I started off as kind of a restaurant manager, and I worked my way up to owning my own restaurants. And so I did that for a very long time. Along the way, about 2017, we decided to start investing in real estate. So we bought about 23 properties, long-term properties in Atlanta. And we developed a property management company and had affordable housing properties in Atlanta. So we had a partner who we used. So I was still running my restaurants and, you know, spending a lot of time in the restaurant business. I had two restaurants that I owned. It was back and forth. I was working 100 hours a week and away from home a lot. Yeah. And so in 2019, at the end of 2019, December of 2019 in particular, we decided to sell both interests in our restaurants. My wife and I were going to start our own restaurant, no investors. We were going to do it on our own. It's like, okay, we're ready for that next chapter. And so we closed on both of the restaurants and sold our equity stakes in those in December of 19. And so just putting the business plan together over those next couple months, and everybody knows what happened then.
Yeah.
The pandemic happened. So it gave us a lot of time to kind of reflect.
You exited out in end of 2019. Had you entered back into your own venture before COVID, or were you still working on that entry, or did you already actually enter?
No, we had not started it yet. We were just putting the business plan together, looking for locations, and the pandemic happened and stopped everything. And then I saw my friends in that industry. You know, I've been in Atlanta for a long time, and so I had a lot of friends in that industry. And they were just getting pummeled.
Hammered. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really sad. Yeah. And so it gave me some time. And then I was home also. I was home with my family. And I had some reflection there where I was like, I've been spending the last 10 years just grinding to build this business, to, you know, build a life for my family. And I never got to see them. So we had this portfolio of rental properties, and I started to kind of get involved with that. We had an operator on the ground who was handling, you know, the property management piece of it. I handled some of the finance stuff, but I started diving into the operation a little bit more. And I recognized, like, wait, you know, I'm in the wrong business. I mean, I can do all this stuff from home and grow this part of my business. And so that's what we made a decision to do. It's just to take that money and start investing, you know, growing our portfolio again.
Yeah.
You know, we'd bought them in 17, 18, and it was just operating. And so then I dove into real estate and just really learning about the business. At that point, I decided. So we were operating that business for a few years, and at 23, I decided that I wanted to diversify our asset classes. And I was always intrigued by vacation rentals. We travel a lot, and we've been to quite a few. I was particularly interested in it because I had that hospitality background, and I really enjoy creating memorable experiences. And so, you know, with a short-term rental, it was just a supercharged version of what I was doing in restaurants every night for years, right? So that was really intriguing. We had this very charming, experiential kind of property up in Dahlonega, Georgia, that we had owned, and it was our vacation house, and we had horses and you know, all this cattle and all these, you know, a menagerie of farm animals. Our kids grew up there. We had wonderful experiences there. So I thought we would use that as our kind of entry point. I wanted to see, hey, do I really like this as well, as much as I think I'm going to like it? And before we start investing, you know, more money into this asset class. And so, you know, we did that for a year. I joined Vodacy. I started, you know, I felt like it's really important to accelerate my learning curve. You know, I just got that from my background in business. It's like, hey, I don't know this that well. Let's find people that have the experience. You spoke to me very clearly through, you know, with, you know, like, I've been doing this for a long time, learn from my mistakes. And I heard that loud and clear. And as I, you know, got more knowledgeable and took all the courses and did all the things, I started gaining the confidence to, scale our business. And so we bought a second one, in October of 24, got that open and running. It took a little longer than I thought to get it, to get it going, but we did it the right way. You know, we got a professional design team in there. You know, Mike's team at Wynn, and we got professional marketing people, the O2O people, and they put out, and it was just night and day, the first one to the second one. It just opened up. It's performing beyond what I expected it to perform. And I expected it to perform really, really well. And so what's wonderful about that whole experience and that process that I went through is now I have the confidence to go in there and you know, continue to grow our portfolio. And I love doing it. I found that I really, really enjoy the hospitality component, and just, it's just, you know, I get so much gratification when you get those reviews or the feedback that I get from our guests and like how gracious we were and how, you know, and it's nuanced stuff a lot of times. It's just little touches that we do, you know, a board welcoming them there, you know, how much, you know, like how much feedback I get from people, like, thank you so much. That was just such a nice way to enter. Like, you know, I felt so special. And that's what I, you know, I just, it's so much more satisfying than our long-term rental, you know, portfolio where you're just collecting rent. And we do some good work. You know, we provide affordable housing, and there's a lot of, you know, gratification in that as well. But making, you know, just creating memorable family experiences really, really just does a lot for, you know, for me.
Love it. And you know, you said a lot of things there. And toward the end, it, like you said, there's a lot of little nuances. I always tell people success in the short-term rental game is not one silver bullet. There's not one trick or hack that everybody needs to know, or three secrets that everybody needs to dial into. You know, it's a thousand golden BBs, and it's all these little things along the way. And people always ask me, and you kind of mentioned it earlier, they're always like, why do you think you're better than everybody else? Why do you think that you know more than anybody else? You know, the skeptics are out there. And it's not that I think I know more than anybody else, but I promise you I've made more mistakes than anybody else. And because I've made so many mistakes along the way, we've been doing it for so long that we know what doesn't work. And when you know what doesn't work, you're that much closer to what works. And I think that that's where we dialed in that Vodacy signature recipe. And you've seen it from both sides, right? You've been, you have made a lot of money and operated in the hospitality world. You know, restaurants are hospitality. It's very, you know, you're creating experience, not just delivering food, right? And it's, so you understood hospitality. You put that into the first short-term rental. And I'm curious if some like major differences come to mind of, okay, we had our, you know, we had our first one that we set up on our own, and we kind of dove into this game, see if we were going to like it. We realized we do like it. And then we like intentionally went out and sought information to raise the bar. And when you saw the difference between what is like how to raise the bar versus what you thought you knew before, like, I'd love to talk about some of those differences, maybe some of the mistakes you made, or you felt like you made that you did differently on the next one. You know, because I think a lot of people, especially right now, where the markets have shifted around over the last year and a half, 12 to 18 months, where there's a lot of operators that are saying, I'm just not performing as well as I am. But then they seek out information like, well, what can you really tell me different than what I'm doing? You know?
I mean, I think it starts with the acquisition, right? Finding a property that, and the underwriting component of it. You know, fortunately, I had a background of, you know, analytics with numbers. And, you know, I mean, you know, restaurant business is very hard. The margins are very tight. And if you're not efficiently running in all areas, you are not going to succeed. Yeah. And so I already came with that. But there was a, from the first one to the second one, it took me 9 months to get the first one set up. I mean, that was an extraordinarily long period of time. It was already furnished. It was already ready to go, you know, and it took me a long, long time to do that. So the first and second one, you know, I think the biggest difference is getting a team of people, of experts. Right. If I have any takeaway, it's, you know, to have the humility to find people that excel in their areas and let them do their jobs. Right. It's a team effort. I mean, that's, right. I can do the hospitality piece really good. I can do some analytics on the front end when I'm, you know, underwriting properties. What I don't know is all the nuances with design and, you know, delivery and, you know, and storage and accounting. And, you know, I mean, I can read a P&L report, but all that stuff, you know, there's a lot of comfort when I have the right tax people in place and the right designers in place and the right marketing people in place. And, you know, again, it's, you know, my goal is always to scale at a pretty aggressive rate. And the only way that I can do that is having a team of really great people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that. Is a big piece of that.
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that. That's where, I mean, selfishly for me, when I was building Vodacy, it's because I was an active investor and I thought, hey, listen, I can only buy so many properties. I can only, you know, my finger on the pulse of this industry can either be my personal experience, which has been, you know, as far as a time horizon has been long, but there's been exponential growth in my learning and understanding and my, you know, the mistakes, the things that work, the things that don't work. Once I created Vodacy, because you now have a family of people doing all this, right? And you've got experts in different areas that are really experts in their lane, right? I don't have to be a CPA. I don't have to be a designer anymore. I don't have to be a photographer anymore. I don't have to be a marketing expert, because we bring in those people that we can now say, okay, we want you to put this to work in my portfolio. Not only that, we've got, you know, a fairly large collective portfolio at Vodacy right now. And when you want to talk about a finger on the pulse of what's going on in the short-term rental world, when you can tap into thousands of properties that are operating and see directly into what's working and what's not working, that is, you know, way more valuable information than my portfolio of six properties, right? That I can see what's working and not working. We can like literally tap into, okay, this is working in real time right now. We make adjustments in real time and we get that collective, because of that collective experience and that collective knowledge inside of Vodacy, we get to tap into that and leverage that, which is hugely valuable. We hear that just over and over and all the time.
Well, the other thing is, just like any industry, it's constantly evolving and changing. Yes. And, you know, and it happens quick. Yes. And I think in this particular asset class, it's evolving, you know, very rapidly, and you have to be a professional. So we have a community of people where we're all sharing high performing properties, and we're all sharing best practices. And it's so fun to be in that environment. I think I went out to one of your, you know, your meetups of few months back, and it was just so much fun to be in the room with a bunch of people, like just sharing best practices and the little nuanced little differences that happen. You're like, oh yeah, you know, everybody's so dialed into what they're doing and creating that wonderful experience. And it's just fun to be around these people that are, you know, performing at a really high level. And then again, they're like ahead of the curve. You know, I want to be ahead of the curve. I don't want to be catching up to the curve. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's exactly. Gonna change, you know.
Exactly. By the time people start copying what we're doing, that's what I say. They're like, well, how long do you think we're going to do this? What if everybody else starts doing it? I said, listen, I've been doing this long enough now, and we're ahead of the curve. We are seeing record amounts of money being spent by guests visiting short-term rentals across the board. Yet many property owners are struggling to make the money that they want with those properties. So if your property is not performing like you'd hoped and you're crossing your fingers thinking that maybe it's going to get better soon, then you're going to be very, very disappointed because your property is performing exactly how you have it set up to perform. The good news is you're probably a lot closer to making money than you realize. I just hosted a live 3-day workshop on how to revitalize a struggling property where I covered the only three things that you need to dial in to succeed at the top of the short-term rental markets. And I'm going to send it to you absolutely free for being one of our podcast listeners. In these recorded trainings, I give you actionable steps on what you need to do to turn your property around and make the money that you've been hoping for. So you can get access to this free training by sending us an email to support@vodysey.com. Once again, send that email to support@vodysey.com to get your free training today. By the time people start copying what we're doing, we're already working on the next curve, right? And we're rounding that next corner. And so, you know, and I think that that's where that benefit is. Like you said, you're just sharing best practices. I mean, that for me selfishly, like that's where I get most excited about what we're doing is because, you know, that's where we are able to capitalize with our own portfolios and our own investments more than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what gives us the confidence to go, oh, this is an asset class that I'm willing to and excited about growing right now. Yeah.
Talk to me about when on that topic, like there's a lot of people who consider different asset classes. And I always say there's pros and cons to everything. There's pros and cons to every single asset class. Short-term rentals have their own pros and cons. And you want to make sure that they fit for your investment goals, your investment, you know, your portfolio goals, everything else. Where you've been involved in the long-term rentals, you've been involved in the long-term affordable housing rentals in that niche inside of long-term rentals. You know, and you said, you know, there's a lot of value in there. There's a lot of things that you like about them. What are some of the things and the differences that you like about short-term rentals? Some of the things that are challenges with short-term rentals versus the others? Because there's a lot of people who listen and we get that question all the time. Well, why should I do this? Or what, you know, is this better than multifamily? Is this better than long-term rentals? Is this better? And I always say none of them are better than any of the other ones, right? It's what works best for you.
I think the difference, I mean, fundamentally, there's a passivity that goes on with the longer term portfolio. And, you know, the short term rental, it is not a passive. You know, you hear all these gurus on the internet talking about how this passive stuff and you get all it is. There's nothing passive about it. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you want to play at the top end of the market, which is what we're doing, it's not passive. Yeah. And you've got to be engaged on all these little, that's why for me, getting those teams in place to really let them do their job so that we can focus on the guest experience and the nuances that create a memorable guest experience.
Yeah. Particularly on the front end, like even for investors like myself, remind me, Anthony, on your portfolio, do you have full service property managers on them?
Or are you managing it? Now, when I started, we were managing it for many years. When I decided to diversify to short-term rentals, I got a property management company so that I could focus on growing this area.
Yeah, and that's how I am. And so even in that situation where we don't manage our own properties, especially that first 12 to 18 months of our property, we're pretty involved, right? We're very involved in the setup. We're very involved in getting these things launched. You know, once you get everything kind of dialed in and your property management company, if it's a full service property management company, then they can become more passive. But you're right. There's nothing passive on the front end. And you have to be very involved, especially during that acquisition, the underwriting. I never outsource that. I never have. I haven't found anybody that I can outsource the underwriting to. There's those professionals that can help with design, help with setup and everything else, but you got to still be involved. And go ahead.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, I think I just got to clarify. We have property manage our long-term rental portfolio. Yeah. Our short terms, we manage ourselves.
Oh, you manage yourself. Yeah. So then, and so bring that back to the point and to your point of saying, there are so many people out there that talk about how easy it is to manage short-term rentals and how it doesn't take that much time and everything else. You know, we've heard it all, right? Because to be honest, when you look at I was just looking at a pro forma yesterday from one of the main kind of guru/experts end quotes out there. And I was shocked at what they were leaving out and I was shocked at what they were saying it was going to take to manage a property so that this investor or prospective investor would buy this property. And it was because the reality of it is you're a 24/7 concierge. You're in the business of creating and delivering unique experiences. If you're going to operate at the top of the market, like you said, maybe you can be passive in the middle or bottom of the market, but there's no money to be made there. So, if you're going to be, you know, a high end property, you're a 24/7 concierge, and somebody has to be that, whether that's you or you hire somebody to do that. But people on the front end say, just, you know, leave that out, because when I'm underwriting properties, I've got 30% management coming right off the top. Right. 30% of my gross revenue is gone to management right out of the gate. Well, guess how many properties don't work anymore? You know, a lot of them. We say no to a lot of them. Well, guess how, if I leave 30% in there and just tell people on the front end, hey, listen, don't worry, you just manage it yourself. And now all of a sudden I can show you 15 or 20% cash on cash returns, and you're not accounting for that management. You're not accounting for your time. It can be really misleading, in my opinion, on the front end.
And well, I would also argue that they're not, you know, budgeting in enough to start up for startup costs.
No way.
Furnishing, nope. Design, and holding costs, right? It takes a period of time once you purchase a property. Yes. And there's holding costs that are associated with that, that people just don't factor in. And all of a sudden they're, you know, underwater on this thing and they don't know why.
Yeah. I always say, what would you rather, like, cause you know, would you rather say no to 99 out of 100 properties that didn't work because you underwrote them and you're like, man, listen, based on holding costs, based on everything going on, based on my debt service at high interest rates, based on my acquisition costs being high, all these numbers that are going in there. Would you rather know that before you wrote the check and say no to 99 properties and maybe you find one out of 100? Or would you rather me tell you it's an easier game to play and you'd rather look at a whole bunch of pro formas that are saying 15 or 20% cash on cash return and you're looking at 30% of the properties that all work out and then you buy them and you find that out later, right? And my argument is always, I know it's frustrating to say no to a lot of properties. I know it's frustrating to look at a lot of properties. You and I are looking at properties right now together, and we've been looking for a few months. We haven't got one yet, right? And we're, you know, because we say no to a lot of properties. We analyze a lot of properties, and I'd rather know that going in. And it's not a matter of being more conservative. It's being more realistic. And this is where I get a little bit fired up with where people are out there being sold a bill of goods that I don't think is true. This exact pro forma that I was looking at, it was a property. It was a case study, for example. It was a case study property that they're using to show a 20% return on an investment. The pro forma, Anthony, had, it was in Seminole, Florida. You know where Seminole is? It's a suburb just south of Clearwater, Florida. It's a beach community in Florida. Beach communities in Florida right now have really high insurance rates, and they're some of the highest rates in the country right now. And it's really hard to get, I mean, a lot of properties don't underwrite just simply because of insurance costs right now. This pro forma on a $700,000 property in Seminole, Florida was budgeting $75 a month. So $850 a year for homeowners insurance. And one, you're not getting $800 a year homeowners policy in Florida and on the beach in Florida. Second, that's not a short-term rental policy. That's a whole different conversation we can go into. But the point of it is you mentioned underwriting, is you better understand how to dial in realistic underwriting, not something that just looks good on the front end so that so a property looks like you're going to make 20%, you dive into it. And then pretty soon you're calling us up saying, hey, this isn't working. This doesn't work. And you're like, man, it was never going to work from the beginning. It was, the numbers you're looking at were unrealistic. And I think that's just one aspect of being able to say, like I always tell people, you know, there's really, we talk about the 100 golden BBs and, or the 1,000 golden BBs, all these little things, the nuances, they all fit within three really main fundamentals. There's no tricks in this game. There's no hacks. There's no secrets. And it's maybe you don't know what you don't know when you get into anything new, but at the end of the day, you have to have the right property in the right location that has the potential to make you the money that you're anticipating. You have to have a unique experience to deliver and manage to deliver a unique experience to a target audience. And then you have to market these properties to stand out and get the consumer to say, hey, I want your property above and beyond everybody else's. And those are the things we're always working on. But like you mentioned, and I know this was kind of long-winded going into the question of what asset class do you like better or not, to put an exclamation point on that point in the very beginning is a lot of long-term rentals are a lot more passive. Short-term rentals, you better understand all three of those major fundamentals if you want to succeed. If you do, it can be a really fun asset class as well. It can be a very interesting asset class. It can be a lot of fun because they're quality properties in quality areas that we can enjoy with our family. So there's a lot of pros to it as well, but we want people walking into this with their eyes wide open.
Yeah. I mean, again, yeah, to your point, I mean, making sure, I think early on, it's easy to make the mistake of just wanting to get a place. And so when you're looking at those numbers, you're like, you know, you want to believe them.
Yeah.
Right. And really, you know, I showed the numbers to a lot of different people, even if I think they're right. Hey, what do you think about this? Is there something I'm missing? There was a property I was just looking at, and I didn't factor in my underwriting that it's on a floodplain, yeah. And it's in Florida, and there's flood insurance like that. You know, that's an expense that if you don't factor in, you're going to notice it. So it took me a good year and a half to find a property in the same market that I was in for the first one, because I was looking for a very, you know, like I wanted a property that had a natural amenity that was unique to that market. You know, there's a lot of great properties, but what is going to allow the property to be a top performing, you know, everybody can, you know, they might be designed really well and it might be this, but if it doesn't have that natural amenity or the other amenities that you factor in, you know, it'll just do okay. So making sure to budget on the front end, everything to have a top performing property. I think, you know, if you're trying to cut corners on that budget, you know, I think you're setting yourself up to fail.
I'm coming to a city near you. That's right. Me and my team of expert advisors are going to be traveling around the United States, teaching people just like you how to acquire, manage, and market a successful short-term vacation rental. We're going to be hosting live two-day events to help investors mitigate their risks and maximize their returns with short-term vacation rentals. At these live events, you're not only going to hear from me, but I'm going to also bring my team of experts, CPAs, lenders, photographers, designers, managers, and my marketing experts. So if you're looking to learn more about investing in profitable lifestyle assets, or you want actionable steps on how to revitalize your struggling property, then come join us live and in person where we can shake your hand, meet you, and get all of those questions answered. Tickets start at general admission and work their way up to ultra VIP. So you can buy your tickets today by clicking the link in the description or by visiting Eventbrite and searching Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass. Once again, click the link in the description or visit Eventbrite and search Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass to get your tickets today.
I love that point. And I want to repeat it and reiterate it because it is one of the biggest pieces of advice I get people is to say, hey, listen, buy less of a property than you can afford so you have enough on the back end to perform at the top of these markets, right? Yeah. And so I'd much rather see you not stretch your budget on the acquisition. I'd rather make sure that you're going that you're leaving enough in the tank to get it set up correctly, to make sure that you're going to get through that first, you know, 3 to 6 months where you don't have a lot of income during that setup phase, like all those different things to make sure that you're checking those boxes to get to the finish line. Cause there's nothing worse than, you know, spending your whole budget on a property that you could afford. You had the down payment for everything else, but your intention was to be a short-term rental operating at the top of the market. You didn't leave enough in the tank to get there. And that's that can be a significant amount. It can a lot of times be more than your down payment to get you to the finish line. In fact, a lot of times it is. It's usually always more than the down payment's going to cost you. The down payment is probably going to be the smaller of the investment. And a lot of people use the majority of their money for that acquisition side.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely been my experience. And then just not even factoring in that ramp up time. Once you get it listed, there is a period of time before it starts getting that traction and start getting all those bookings and at the price point that you forecasted at.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly. I think this is really good. I never know where these conversations are going to go, Anthony. I just always love to have them. And because there's always nuggets of information that we uncover. Is there one thing that comes to mind when you look back and say, this is, you know, or one thing that we've already talked about that you hope people take away from this conversation that are either thinking about getting in the game or have a property that they're trying to maximize in a shifting market or just something you wish you knew before you dove in?
Let me think about this. I mean, I can't emphasize enough making sure to budget enough for all, for the setup, the design, the holding period, the ramp up period once it's listed. And to your point, like if it means like the entry point on your property is a lower price point, then that's what you do, you know? Because I mean, there's nothing worse. I mean, it's a lot of time we're putting into this stuff. And if all of a sudden now we're playing in the middle of the market, it's now we have to compete on price, and that's just no way to live. Yeah. I mean, in my book, you know, it's just oversaturated in a lot of these markets. And if we're playing in that middle spot, yeah, it's tough.
It's really tough. You're just a commodity, right? If you don't do the things that we're talking about doing, and you're saying, you know, to operate toward the top of the market, all you're doing is putting another property out there, probably a beautiful property, probably furnished very nice. Most people naturally do that. And then all of a sudden they realize, holy crap, there's a whole bunch of other really nice properties. They're my neighbors, same proximity, same pretty much everything I have. And when there's no differentiation, there's nothing that you're giving the consumer a reason that you're different than somebody else, then all of a sudden you become a commodity and you're just competing on price, and it's a race to the bottom, and it's a really, really tough place to play.
I mean, I learned that. I mean, you've said that over and over in all the courses that I've taken with you guys, and I heard that loud and clear, you know. And so I can't emphasize enough, that's the other piece of it, you know, invest in the training and the development. There's going to be so many little pieces along the road that you're going to pick up that are set you up for success down the road.
Love it. Love it. I appreciate it. And so, awesome, man. Well, listen, this has been a great conversation. I know you're a busy man. In fact, I know you're getting ready to pack the bags and be gone for a month. And so we're excited for you guys to be able to do that with your family. We were talking before we hit record. And so, you know, I wish you safe travels. I appreciate you spending your time with us today, Anthony. I love these conversations. I know our listeners love these conversations as much as I do, because we hear about it and they tell us all the time. And so appreciate you joining me, and you guys travel safe on your the family European trip, which is going to be a lot of fun for you.
Sean, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and enjoy your summer.
I appreciate it, man. You as well. And we'll be talking soon. Those of you that are listening in, joining us, we know how valuable your time is. We appreciate you spending it with us. We hope you got something out of this conversation. If you did, and you know somebody else that would, I would love you to share the conversation, because those things help us grow the show. I don't run ads on this show. The only way it grows is if you guys share it, and you guys do a good job of sharing that. So I appreciate it. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final most important thing, I always challenge you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.